This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. On today's show, back-to-back programs with Maura Smiley and starting off with Howard Levy. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. Today we revisit our conversation with piano and harmonica virtuoso Howard Levy, and later in the show we'll be listening to our interview with the multi-talented composer and vocalist Maura Smiley. And one new bonus feature on this encore broadcast, some unreleased music featuring both guests performing together. This is John Floridis, and I'm very pleased to be speaking by phone today with Howard Levy. How are you doing, Howard?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Thank you so much for making time to be on Musician Spotlight. Howard is calling us from the Chicago, Illinois area, and great to be speaking with him. Levy Land is the name of the website, levyland.com. A two-time Grammy winner with Bela Fleck and the Flecktones, Trio Lobo with Eugene Friesen, who's been on the program before, and Glenn Velez. And a number of other projects, almost too many to mention, but we will talk a little bit more about some of those other projects. Howard has also released a classical CD featuring the Concerto for Diatonic Harmonica and Orchestra, and the first concerto ever composed for the Diatonic Harmonica, and also as a contributor to recordings with Kenny Loggins, Dolly Parton, Paquito de Rivera, Styx, Donald Fagen, Paul Simon, way more artists than just that. Great to be speaking with you, Howard. One of the things I wanted to ask you right from the start, because as I talk about a diatonic harmonica being one of your instruments of virtuosity, that and the piano, what exactly, for those who are not familiar with a diatonic harmonica, what exactly is that?
Well, it's the one that most people see when they see someone playing like blues and folk music. And it's a 10-hole instrument, and it's got 20 reeds that are designed. It was designed in Germany in the early 19th century to play folk music, German folk music. And so it's got the notes of the major scale, most of them anyway. And it's the instrument you hear when you hear people playing blues usually, you know. Yeah.
Okay, so maybe they've been listening to it all these years and they didn't actually know that it was called a diatonic.
Yeah, because the chromatic harmonica is the other common instrument, and that's the one that has the button on the side. And that was designed out of harmonica players' frustration of not being able to get all the notes. So when you push the button in, it changes the key of the instrument from C to D flat, so you can alternate between the two positions of the slide and get the chromatic scale that way. But what I did on the diatonic harmonica right away, as soon as I started playing it when I was 18, is I figured out how to play the chromatic scale on it, which nobody had ever done before.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's why I like to make it clear that's what I'm playing.
So the next question would be, I would assume piano came first, but maybe not. I mean, between those two.
Oh, yeah. No. I started playing piano when I was about 8.5 years old, growing up in New York City. And I begged my parents for piano lessons. I had been begging them for years. And they finally said, okay, we think you're old enough now. So basically what happened was, as soon as I put my two hands together on the keyboard, after about 2 weeks, I started improvising and just making up my own music, which sounded very coherent and very nice, actually. and so then the teacher said that I should really go to someplace like a music school. So I took piano and theory on Saturdays at the Manhattan School of Music for 4 years. And that was my basic education, which was classical music.
And then when did the harmonica come into play?
Well, you know, after I had taken the classical lessons, and then also I studied Bach on the pipe organ for about 2 years after that.
Mm.
But right around the same time, when I was about 13 or so, I started listening to rock and roll and, you know, popular music, and started getting interested in that. Then gradually started listening to blues and jazz. And so at that time, when I was 17 or so, I fell in love with the sound of Chicago blues. And the drummer in our band taught himself how to play harmonica. So I figured, hey, if the drummer could learn it, surely I could learn how to play this instrument. How hard could it be, right? So I went to Manny's Music, the famous old
store
on West 48th Street in New York, and I plopped down my $2.25 and got a blues harp in the key of G, I think, and went over to my friend's house and said, show me how to play the blues. And he said, well, I can't really show you. So I fumbled around for about 6 months until one day, suddenly, I figured out how to bend a note and play blues licks. And that was, I was 18 years old, my first week of college in Chicago. And that, I have to say, was the first day of the rest of my life.
Howard, a good number of listeners are going to know your work through Bela Fleck and the Flecktones as one of the original members and now performing with them again. Talk a little bit about, you know, what that brings out in you as a musician and as a composer.
Well, I would say that it was, you know, especially at the time when I started doing it, it was the most complete use of my abilities on both of my instruments that I had ever done in any group. Because usually I was playing way more piano in certain things and way more harmonica in other things. But this was an equal amount to both and a lot of simultaneous playing. So I had to kind of orchestrate my parts as we would sit and rehearse and figure out what would be best in different parts of a given tune. And then sometimes simultaneous playing of harmonica and piano. And so I really hadn't done much of that in public before. So that was one of the big things for me. And also it fully stretched my abilities on both instruments, because some of the compositions that Bela wrote were, you know, very unusual and unstandard, and made me have to figure out a lot of stuff. We all arranged everything together. And he didn't even write out charts. He preferred banjo tab back then for himself. And everything was, we just memorized everything. I wrote out charts for myself, being more of a jazz pianist, and I because I felt that I had to know exactly what the chords were, and I didn't want to leave anything to chance. So I would write out, not for every tune, some of them I didn't need charts, but the ones that had the more sophisticated harmonies, I would write charts out and then memorize them and then throw them away. And some of those tunes were, like I would say UFO Tofu eventually.
I know that's the way. I didn't mean to interrupt, but that, forgive me for laughing a little bit earlier, but that's what was coming to my mind. This was a band that was literally writing musical palindromes, and the idea of trying to memorize that music is just
mind-blowing. Oh, yeah,
that was
actually, the idea for that came from me introducing Bela to a guy named Baby Gramps, who had a song full of palindromes. Bela heard this guy, and it really blew his mind. We heard him live at a festival we were playing. And Bela had always sort of toyed around with the idea of playing tunes backwards. So that's how the tune started, and that's how it got its name, was from one of Baby Gramps' palindromes, the shortest one, UFO Tofu. And so we got together, and I had to write that one out and figure out how to play the lines backwards and then memorize it. So it was a very, very involved process. And when we got ready to do our reunion tour, the one thing that we talked about first was like, okay, I guess we're not going to play UFO Tofu, because if we try to play this, we're going to spend it, the entire rehearsal time that we have allotted, just trying to remember what the heck we played. Because that's probably the hardest tune we ever had to play. But the material ranged from stuff like that to very lyrical, slow, melodic things, and you know, a lot of different styles. Really, there was no one style that we played in, which is one of the reasons I enjoyed it so much.
Thank you.
This is John Floridus. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm speaking by phone today with Howard Levy. Howard, I wanted to move on a little bit to Trio Globo, because that seems like chronologically that's the direction you went in after the Flecktones. And really a wonderful collaboration. As I mentioned, Eugene Friesen has been on the program before, and Glenn Velez is just a marvelous, marvelous musician. Talk a little bit about how that came together and you know, what that was like in terms of like making that transition from one group to the next.
Well, it was an interesting year for me, the year that I, right after I quit the Flecktones, suddenly all of these wonderful musical collaborations started right around the same time, playing with Gene and Glenn. The very first time that we met, the first day, we recorded my tune Lumbriga, and that version of it ended up being the first track on our first CD that we recorded about a year later.
I remember it well.
So there was the rest of the CD was recorded later at a different place. Oh, no, at the same place, yes. But it was an indication of our extreme simpatico that we could get such a beautiful recording on our first time ever even meeting face-to-face.
Yeah.
So immediately that band felt like it had a special magic. And one of the really fascinating things about it is that there's no bass. And the role of the bass player shifts from like the low frame drum to the cello pizzicato lines in the lower end of the cello to the left hand of the piano. But it's more like we're kind of creating three-dimensional musical sculptures with the number of three musicians. You can create an extremely full and fascinating sound without having standard instrumentation. So it was just a wonderful collaboration. Yeah, still a wonderful collaboration in every way.
This is John Floridus. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm speaking today by phone with Howard Levy. Howard, we've been getting pretty deep and inside here on music and composition and styles, and I'm going to get a little Oprah Winfrey
Okay,
here.
you're allowed.
Okay, tell us about Howard.
About Howard, that other guy?
Yeah, I'm going to leave it like that. I'm not going to try to qualify. I'm just going to
All
say,
right,
tell us
well,
about Howard.
I'm glad he shows up at the end of the night to help me pack. Well, I mean, I started out as a small child, what could I say? But I'm from a very artistic family. My dad was a is still he's 96, he still sings. So I grew up in a house surrounded by him singing opera and Broadway stuff. He had a sort of a career when he was younger. My mom played cello, went to the High School of Performing Arts, and they really loved, they took me to museums a lot. So I grew up around a lot of art that was in the home and a lot of music. And my mom read poetry to me and my sister a lot when we were kids. And growing up in New York, you know, you could pretty much find about just about anything, not everything, but just about anything. And so if you were interested in stuff, you'd go, oh, I think I want to go hear some classical music here or some jazz there, or go to see this exhibit at that museum, and or you know, try this kind of food. And so New York is a kind of a crazy quilt of stuff. But I think I had to come to Chicago to get some clarity of mind, because New York is almost overwhelming. And so for me, coming to Chicago, which was a more rooted place and a place that wasn't so obsessed with people who were famous and showbiz, and it's more of a blue collar place. And so I would say that I'm a like a New York transplant who put down his roots in Chicago. But then through music, I've been able to travel all over the world and just play so many different kinds of music with so many different people. To have all of these different experiences, has really been amazing. You know, people would hear me play and they'd go, wow, this guy can play anything. And of course, I couldn't play anything. It sounded like it, but they would say, yeah, play this. We're so excited to have you here. And I'd go, oh, I don't know how to play this. And let me practice this for a while. And then, you know, I'd play it. And so that's how a lot of my learning took place, was people being turned on by my playing and saying, why don't you, we'd love you to play this with us. So, and then sometimes I challenge myself. I say, oh, you know, try to learn how to play Bach flute sonatas or on the harmonica, which I've done quite a bit of, or the second orchestral suite. I've done that. And I've taught myself how to transpose reed, because if I'm playing it on an A harmonica, a B flat harmonica, G, D, whatever, I can read music playing on all these different key harmonicas without having to transpose the music. I just do it in my head. So it's intense being me.
I love it. I love it. I love it. If you want to find out more about Howard Levy and all of the projects he's involved in, you can find all of that at levyland.com. In just a few minutes, we'll revisit our conversation with composer and vocalist Maura Smiley. But first, some music from an unreleased recording featuring both Howard Levy and Maura Smiley. Their rendition of Now is the Cool of the Day.
Now Then my Lord, he said unto me, do you like my garden so pure? You may live in this garden if you keep my waters clean, and I'll return in the cool of the day. Now is the cool of the day. Now is the cool of the day. Oh, this earth is a garden, the garden of my Lord, and he walks in his garden in the cool of the day. Then my Lord, he said unto me, do you like my pastures of green? You may live in this garden if you will feed my lambs, and I'll return in the cool of the day. Now is the cool of the day. Now is the cool of the day. Oh, this earth is a garden of my Lord, and he if you keep my people free, and I'll return in the cool of the day. Now is the cool of the day. Now is the cool of the day. Oh, this earth is garden of my Lord, and he walks in his garden in the cool of the day.
We'll be back with more Musicians Spotlight in just a bit. In the next half hour, we'll revisit our conversation with composer and vocalist Maura Smiley. Welcome back to Musicians Spotlight and an encore broadcast of our visit with Maura Smiley.
Sometime, anytime you want to bellow at the sky, call on me, call on me. We'll unzip the horizon with our voices. Sometime, anytime you want to bellow at the sky, call on me, call on me. We'll unzip the horizon with our voices.
You ask me why I sing softer now. Did the world beat me down? 'Cause back then I sang hard, I sang proud. But where are the edges now? Ukrainian summer before the revolution, I sat at the knees of the grandmother. Her daughter told me we could lift the veil between the worlds by singing. And we were sat outside in the dawn light of the mid. midsummer feast and the short night, singing to the dead so they'd bless the crop, bless the young, bless the year.
This is John Florida's Welcome to Musicians, a Spotlight. I'm very pleased to welcome back to the show Maura Smiley. How are you doing?
I'm well. It's really great to be back.
It is great to have you back on the program. I say welcome back because we have had the pleasure of getting a chance to visit for Musician Spotlight interviews a couple of times, once in Helena for a show featuring your work, and also I believe it was in the basement of Music Villa in Bozeman.
Yes.
And that was part of the 20-year retrospective for Solace that we did.
Yeah.
There's so much to touch on. First of all, I want to tell listeners, MoiraSmiley.com is the name of her website. That's MoiraSmiley, MoiraSmiley.com. Unzip the Horizon is the name of her most recent solo project, and we're going to be talking about that. I don't want to get too far into the background. I can give listeners a quick overview.
Great.
But again, given the breadth of your work, it's hard to do that quickly. But we can talk about The Voice is a Traveler, which is kind of your solo presentation, the Jamie Stone Lomax Project.
And now Folk Life Project.
At Folk Life Project, right. And Jamie Stone's been on Musician Spotlight. Your work with Billy Childs. Billy Childs has been on the program. We could get into Tune Yards, the Seamus Egan Project, Solace we've already covered, and that's not even touching on the choral compositions and the projects involved with choral music and the sheet music business. No, you're not a mess. And teaching. The term polyglot came up in the last interview and comes up often.
Yeah.
I wanted to just visit that term as you sit here right now in 2019.
Ah. Yeah, I like the word, and I like what it means, and I admire being able to speak many languages. I think I aspire.
Maybe we should tell listeners, what is a polyglot? Because the first time I came across that word was researching your first interview.
So I think the simplest definition is one who speaks many languages. Glottal is like the glottis, the tongue, many tongues. So I would say that term still applies a little bit more. Effort has gone into putting it all together into, finding my own creative impulse, where it lies, and not being in this camp or that camp particularly, but I still really aspire to that act of traveling through ideas and always trying to learn.
Hearing you say that you feel like you're maybe focusing, maybe I'm paraphrasing this or even projecting some of my own thoughts, kind of focusing all these various projects and various influences into something more cohesive.
Something personal.
And that's what brings me to Unzip the Horizon, because that seems to sum up this project for me as a listener.
First and foremost, Unzip the Horizon, I took time with it, which was the very first time that I really did that with a recording project. And I think you can hear it. You can just hear how I took a breath and worked with the structures, you know, more deeply. Allowed things to be complicated, but thought about craft, you know. And I was also having my mind blown by the people I was collaborating with at the same time, you know, going out and singing with Tune Yards. Meryl Garbus is someone I really esteem, and she was wonderful to work for. I was thrilled she was on the record. You know, she agreed to be on the record.
Or she's maybe tell listeners who aren't familiar, she's the force of nature behind Tune Yards.
Yes. Yeah. I think I was on this path of listening to the creative impulse, no matter the danger, you know? And I think that that's, you know, what some of these, not just women, but in particular, I'm thinking of those of Meryl Garbus and Laura Nyro, but certainly also Billy Childs. These influences came into this record and could slowly seep in over a year and a half. And the process was returning to Indiana, where you and I both have some roots. And we crafted it, you know, over that longer time instead of just going in and doing it in 3 days, which is mostly what I've done before. So it was sort of between tours, I would go and be there, partially because I was a nomad and that was as much of a destination as anywhere. And that is underlying that whole album.
Refugee. Refugee, 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 refugee. In your world, I'm a refugee. In your world, danger all around me, all around me, all around me. In your world, I must flee. Bring me shelter, I will not harm you. Bring me shelter, please. Bring me shelter, I will not harm you. I would shelter you. I am only what you are. I am only what you are. I am only what you are. What you are. What you are. Imagine your unbreakable world was broken, no more rules to protect you. Who was I? 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 In my world, I was standing strong. In my shelter, I will not harm you. I would shelter you. I am only what you are. I am only what you are. I am only what you are. What you are. What you are. Imagine your unbreakable world was broken. No more rules to protect you. Imagine your unbreakable world was broken. No more rules to protect you. Imagine.
Maura, we wanted to talk a little bit about the song Refugee, which is also from the Unzip the Horizon project. Let's talk a little bit about this. I know there's a real important story behind the song.
Yeah. Thank you for asking. So Refugee is about, primarily about the refugees I met while working in the refugee camp called the Calais Jungle. And that experience just blew my mind. There's no other way to put it. Opened my world in enormous ways. While I was there, I recorded young people, both genders, rapping in Arabic. You know, that's what they really wanted to tell the world, their story, and that was the medium that they wanted. So I would do that, and I would teach my body percussion here and there, and I would get laughed at by some of the Arab kids because they thought it was weird that a lady was hitting herself, you know. All kinds of just beautiful and mind, you know, opening experiences.
I'm not laughing at the process or anything like that. I'm imagining what that would be like.
Oh,
having
amazing.
Seen you perform and having seen you do that.
Yeah, it's pretty.
I can see why if someone is not used to that.
Yeah,
if they're in their
strange.
Culture, it might, you know, yes, like you say, one slapping your body, you know, making it into a percussive instrument might
be a bit odd.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah.
But how cool! What a great way to introduce, you know, a whole other artistic expression.
Yeah.
Maura Smiley is our guest on Musician's Spotlight today, and we're talking about all things Maura Smiley. Unzip the Horizon is her most recent recording. And another thing I wanted to ask you, Maura, was the term nomad has come up. Mm-hmm. So where I'm going to go with this is, and I've talked to musicians about the concept of, is being a musician something you do or is it something you are? So I'm going to turn that around and say, use the term nomad. Is being a nomad something that you do or is it something that you are? In other words, is it just your very nature or is it something that is where your journey is now in life?
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I don't feel like I have the definition. That's a beautiful question. I feel that I am a nomad. I do feel that. I have not always been nomadic, you know, and I often nest, but the restlessness is constant for me. I think that's a really good question. And I actually would love to speak to the thing you introduced nomad with was, are you a musician or do you musician? And
sure.
I actually think I have trouble practicing. I have trouble giving music to myself in the comfort of my own room, you know? I find it confusing. I don't know where to start. In fact, I was saying to a friend, I would love to know to take a course in practicing. And to me, practicing is being a musician. So sometimes I feel like a little worried, am I a musician, you know? And it's because what is it that makes up a nomad? What is it that makes up a musician? You know, these callings, it's fascinating to me what makes up somebody who really is that thing.
God gave the wise man a long gray beard, and he told him to walk on the land. Wise man, he come with a golden tongue and a question in each hand. Wise man, he come with a golden tongue and a question in each hand. Why must I wear a long gray beard? And why must I walk on the land? When all my life I was penniless and poor, troubles I could barely stand. When all my life I was penniless and poor, troubles I could barely stand.
Mm-hmm.
Was it my youth that kept away the peace that I have today? Was it my love for wife and child who now in the earth do lay? Was it my love for wife and child who now in the earth do lay? My love kept me through storms, and nothing in the world did I fear. And though she is dead, her spirit lingers on and is with me as I travel here. Though she is dead, her spirit lingers on and is with me as I travel far and friend and stranger I meet that I found heaven in love. Tell every stranger and friend I meet that I found heaven in love.
Maura, I want to read a quote from your website and do so not just to flatter you, but there's a question involved with it here. But I also think it gets to the heart of what you're doing, I think. This comes from NYC Public Theater. Maura's deep curiosity about the world and incredible talent make her an important and necessary voice. And where I wanted to go with that, you've talked about the curiosity, I think.
Yeah.
You've touched on that in terms of what kind of things that you're curious about in life and how you bring that into your music. Maybe talk a little bit about the other adjectives that are important and necessary. What are things that feel important and necessary to you right now? And it doesn't necessarily have to be just in music.
Mm-hmm. I think listening to the creative impulse and taking time with it, trying to arrange your life to follow those kind of windy roads. And for me, I feel like giving back a little bit. And what that means to me right now is not so much teaching or being useful in these very usual musician ways, but having an adventure for myself, but also giving of myself to places I haven't been before and people that I don't get to be around, and learning to listen again kind of in a non-musical way. I've had this idea of doing a duets record next, you know?
Well, it's interesting because, as I said, that might be a logical step away, stepping forward from Unzip the Horizon, which you've kind of...
Yeah,
done a little bit of that.
Right, it's true. Just getting myself into trouble, basically. You know, getting myself into
musical trouble.
Musical
you do plenty
trouble.
Of that, more
yeah.
Smiley.
I do. But doing that, and maybe also not musical trouble. Getting myself into situations, I think, in the next 10 years, where it's not that I would feel uncomfortable, but that I'm not in control of what's going to happen necessarily. Mm-hmm. So. That's interesting to me.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm joined today by singer and composer Maura Smiley. Maura, you talked about collaborations. One of the things that strikes me about this album is how those collaborators are really put out front. Like you mentioned Meryl, like on the song Bellow, the gentleman who sings...
Sam Lee.
Sam Lee, who sings Wise Man. Is that something pretty new for you. And how, talk about the importance of, you know, putting a lead voice. And this is something you're known for as the singer.
Yeah.
This is an album with your name on it.
Yeah.
And like when Bello starts, it's Meryl singing.
Yeah. Right. It's true. I think I have always put myself just sort of just above my collaborators in terms of like what you hear on the album. I mean, because I've run a cappella groups and we all have the same job. I think I've said that very same thing to you. When you are in an a cappella group, you're having the same job as your other bandmates. And so you can sing lead. And in my case, I came also from community music, communal music, folk music of, you know, the traditional kind. So often you don't make a big deal of yourself. It's about the collective sound. It's about the, you know, collective history. So in a way, this was a step deeper into saying, okay, we're going to, again, as I said, trust this creative impulse, which Mother of a New Invention, that opening track, the reason that I put it first, and that Dave and I chose to do that, actually, Dave Weber, was because the storytelling of the album starts with me saying, it's okay to take time on your own creative work, even if you don't know if it's going to be a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Mother of a New Invention is saying exactly that. It's about paying attention to the creative impulse, whether it's to make a family or to make a move to a new place or to make music. It's taking that time. And that's actually hard for me to do.
As I recall, I came across a video online of you talking about that song. And one of the other things that I was interested to hear you talk about was the concept of the pressure of being yourself a mother of a new invention in terms of yet another project.
Yeah.
Am I correct in that?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And finding a place of being in a good space with where you're at and not being so consumed by what's coming up next,
yes.
Which is, that's a hard balance to come up with, I would
it
think.
It really is. Yeah, you just often don't enjoy the process. I mean, it is your work, so that's okay. But yes, you are always discontented. It's always your winter of discontent being an artist, you know, because you're just searching for that next. Well, it could be that you're wanting affirmation, but it's also just that sense that you belong where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And the song is about noticing where you are. Mm-hmm. And so that's sort of the dharma of the whole thing, you
mm-hmm.
know, just be where you are, be okay.
Yeah.
And actually what you produce might be better if you're not always looking ahead, at you, nervous, anxiety.
Oh, what a pretty thing it is. I've been looking for it all my life I've been looking for this thing that I see. And here it now is, and I don't know what to do. Conductor tells me that it's my stop, the place I longed to be all those years but was not. And here I now am, don't know what to do. I feel I wanna run away or get back on that train, take me away. Oh, what a tragedy that
bicycle. I never got no horse. I never got no locomotive, but I do have you, of course. No, I got you, of course.
Unzip the Horizon is the name of Maura Smiley's most recent project, her most recent solo project. Lots of other things to find out, and you can find those things at maurasmiley.com. I'll spell that out for listeners, M-O-I-R-A-S-M-I-L-E-Y, maurasmiley.com. It's been a pleasure talking shop with you again, Maura.
Yeah,
and,
likewise.
I get the feeling it's not going to be the last time we get a chance to visit on Musician Spotlight.
Thank you.
Calling, we're calling, we're calling. Calling, you're calling, you're calling me. I'm starting a new phrase.
This is John Floridus, and you've been listening to Back to Back, our visits with Howard Levy and Maura Smiley. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter. Our program is available as a podcast from those websites, as well as through iTunes and PRX. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.